How's everybody doing? Doing good. It's a good day, right? Because why? We're on this side of the dirt. You've got breath in your lungs. And God gave you another day for a purpose. Because He's got something for you to do, and you ain't done it yet. He's got something for you. He's got someone for you. Someone to touch. Someone to love. And He wants you to do that. You know, and I just want to encourage you guys with that. Because, you know, I say that every time, but I really feel like we need to repeat things to ourselves, to encourage ourselves, so we know that we know that we know it is well with our soul. So we can stand up and praise Him no matter what happens. No matter the situation, the highs and the lows, God loves us. But anyway, we've been doing a series here talking about foundation stuff, fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So we've been talking about these things. What did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? Self-control. There you go, Kayla. And Miss Mary, self-control. But more importantly, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Amen. Okay? You know, we've talked about... What else on this list have we talked about? Peace. We've talked about joy. Having joy rather than happiness. Because joy lasts for a lifetime. But happiness is fleeting. See? And see, all these things in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 there, they all fit together. They're all pieces of a larger puzzle that is our lives and is the thing that God wants us to be. That picture that God has for us, each one of those is a piece to that picture. And see, and they all fit together. To build us up. They build us up not only individually, but build us up together. See, that's the thing. Building us up together in unity. See, in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The word unity there, it's this fancy... Hebrew word, it's yahad. It means all at once and all together. See, God wants us to be in unity. As we begin to have these things in our lives, these fruit of the Spirit, like I said, it builds us up together. It knits us together in unity. What is unity? Anybody know? Anybody know what the definition of unity is? Anybody? I'll tell you. Unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole, not being multiple. It's a condition of harmony. See, unity is being joined, so there's not multiples, but it's one. And see, that's what God wants us as the church to be, not just a bunch of individual people, but a group in one mind and one accord. Okay, because unity is important. Unity in the body of Christ is important. You know why? Why is unity important? Anybody know? Anybody? Nothing? You're looking at me. Unity is important because there's strength in numbers. Okay? Whenever you're getting into a fight, you want to go by yourself or you want to bring a couple friends with you? I know when I was on the playground and I was throwing rocks at folks and they was coming back after me, I wanted all my buddies with me. I didn't want to go it alone, even though I was the one, you know, throwing rocks. But see, unity is strength in numbers. When everyone is pulling in the same direction, we'll get there faster. We'll get there greater. when everyone is pulling in the same direction, rowing the boat in the same direction, no one has time to rock the boat. They don't have time to shake it up and cause problems because we're all in what? One mind and one accord. We're not in a Honda. We're all in this together. Okay? Unity is important because we've all got the same goal, or we should have as Christians. And the more we're together, we can get there faster. But many times there's the opposite of unity. What's that? Disunity, division. See, we see that all the time in the church. It can be in the local church or the church as a whole. I don't know if you realize this, but there's about 1.5 million different denominations that all call themselves Christians, right? At one point, they were all together, but somebody got mad and said, heck with you, I'm going to make my own religion, and I'm going to come over here. See, a lot of them, they split off because somebody got mad because there was disunity and division in the church. But God clearly says, don't do that. Be in one mind and one accord. Because the deal is, Satan loves division in the church. He loves it. It's the greatest thing. Because if he can get us fighting against each other, that's one less group that he's got to worry about. You know, if we're talking bad about each other and running each other down every time someone's got a problem, that's one less group of Christians that the devil has to worry about. That's one less group that's doing the things of God. Because the devil does not fear a big church. He fears a unified church. He fears a unified church. Get that? That is the devil's greatest fear, is if we could all put ourselves aside and say it's all about God. It doesn't matter about me. It's all about God. If we could all get to that point, the church as a whole, we could change the world. We could change the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. The first part of Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church, and he's saying, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. See, we're an imperfect people serving a perfect God. And sometimes we get in our own way. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten in your own way? Screwed your life up? I've done it. Too many to count. Right? After about 3, 4, 17, 32 times, you stop counting. But many times, we can get in our own way. And Paul here was saying, let there be no division. Because this group in the church in Corinth that he was talking about, they were fractured. They were jumping off. They're saying, well, I'm following this person. No, I don't believe that. I'm going to follow this person. And they were all a jumbled mess. And they were living in disunity. But Paul there, he was saying, look, be in one mind, united in thought and purpose. In the King James Version, it says, being united, perfectly formed together. Because, you know, many times we get mad at folks, we get offended over the dumbest stuff. There's people that I know that lay out of church because they're offended because the pastor said their name in a message. Oh my God, I cannot go back there. Or get offended because, well, they didn't sing the right song. Or they didn't do this. But many times it's not an issue with they. It's an issue with I. It's an issue inside of ourselves. But see, in my short 30-some-odd years on this planet, I've noticed that when people are mad about something, they're not quiet. They're never quiet. They'll tell everybody about how they're mad at you. But they won't tell you how they're mad at you. You ever had that? I've had people that were mad at me for years. I never even knew it. Never even knew it. But they was mad because of something. Because I said something in the word or did something or acted away. But see, God wants us to have unity, to be together. What does unity look like? Anybody know? What does unity look like? When you're really thinking about it, what does unity look like? It looks like Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This was talking about the first church. Okay, Jesus had just ascended to heaven, and this is the very first group of the church. And it says this in the New Living Translation, Acts 2, 42. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. 43, it says, a deep sense of awe came over all of them, or them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Verse 44, it says, and all the believers met together in one place, sharing everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Verse 47, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Okay, this is what unity looks like. It was a group of people that were together. They did things together. They ate together. They worshiped together. They, verse 45, it says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Now, before you go thinking that I'm telling you, you got to sell everything. What that was saying there is they took their excess. They sold it. And they used that money to help the people that needed help. See, they shared things together. It was much more than showing up, hugging somebody in the neck, saying, I'll pray for you, sister. I love you. It was an action that they did. It was, they came together. They met together. They sold what they had, shared their possessions. And what did it say there? It said in verse 47, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And what that's saying is there, the goodwill of all the people around them, they were in such unity and there was such love that bound them together that the people around them had nothing bad to say about them, the people of the world. So that's part of what unity looks like, is a group that loves each other and other people can see that. Love, because love binds us all together. And the most important thing there, it says, and the Lord added to their fellowship. In the King James Version, it says, God blessed their faithfulness and added to their group. They blessed them because what were they doing? They were being together. They were worshiping God together. And it goes on in Acts 4, 32, and it says, most importantly here, Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. They shared everything that they had. That's part of unity. Sharing. Sharing of money, property, sharing of help. Because you know, part of being together is just helping each other. And one of the greatest examples I've seen in my own life, there's a man in my life that he's a busy man, works two jobs, But if you ever say, "Brother Tommy, I need your help," what's his first response? "I got you. I'm there for you." Because that's part of what? That's part of unity. Part of the body of Christ is to be there for each other. And not just in word, but in deed also. Not just in word, because it's very easy to say, "Oh, I'll pray for you." But it's a whole nother thing to say, to actually do it. Because how many times in my own life have I said, "Oh, I'll pray for you," and I never do? Anybody ever done that? "Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, sister. I'll pray for you, brother. I know you're going through something." I get home, and what do? Turn on the TV. Forget all about the prayers. But see, being in unity is not forgetting. It's to love each other, being united in heart and mind. Verse Acts 4:33, it says, "The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all." 34, it says, "There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give those in need." See, there was no needy among them. That's part of unity. Is if you see a problem, if you see somebody that needs something, the love of Christ says, "I want to meet that need." Not, "Oh, I see that problem. Walk on." Verse 36, "For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus." Verse 37, it says, "He sold a field that he owned and brought the money to the apostles." So that's a great thing to be named in the Bible right there. They thought enough of him to say, "Hey, you know what? We're going to call you Barnabas, son of encouragement, because you've encouraged other people. You sold what you had to help others." See, the early church, they had no buildings. They had no money. What money they had, they shared. They had no political influences. But what did they do? They turned an entire world upside down with their unity and their love for God. See, that's what true unity looks like. That's what I want to encourage us, to be united. Because there's strength in numbers, and if we all can stand beside each other, we can withstand anything as a group. Because there's strength in numbers. So unity is all well and good. We need it. But what's the most important question to ask? How do we get it? How do we get unity? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Colossians 3 and 10. How do we get unity? Very plainly in the book of Colossians it says, chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it says, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." Put on a new nature. Take all of your old junk, put it to the side, and put on something new. In verse 11, it says, "In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us." Part of obtaining unity is not worrying about what other people look like. When we stop worrying about what we look like, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I like to look cute. But unity comes when I stop worrying about that. And I worry about Christ, because that's all that matters. Because He lives in all of us. See, those are the first steps of obtaining unity, is putting all your old junk away. Not worrying about what people look like when they come in. Because I have a feeling there's going to be some people come in that don't look exactly like us. Don't look exactly like me. They don't look like you, Kayla. But God loves them anyway. Now in verse 12 it says, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself in tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wait, where have I heard that before? Maybe Galatians 5:22, what we've been talking about. It says, clothe yourselves in these things. See, that's the next step of unity, is to put those things into your life. Put those things out of your life. You know, let it radiate out. In verse 13, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. That's the next step of unity. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive people. Because you know what? Remember, the Lord forgave you and you must forgive others. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Because you know, forgiveness. That's how we bind each other together, is forgiveness. When someone offends you, you say, it's okay. I love you anyway. I forgive you. And the greatest thing you can do is to forgive your enemies. You know why? It confuses them. It confuses them. And in that confusion, God can get a hold of them and drag them in here and sit down. See? Make allowance for each other's faults. Verse 14, it says, above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourselves in love. That's the common theme with all of this. All of what we've been talking about. Everything comes down to love. Everything. The entire gospel is summed up in what? Love God and love other people. If we can get that right, everything else will begin to fall into place. We'll begin to have that unity together. Love God. Love other people. Clothe yourselves in love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. So far, we've been talking about things that you put on. It's telling us, put on love. Put on tender-hearted mercy. Put on these things. Verse 16, it says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Part of being in unity is to teach and counsel each other. Build each other up rather than tear each other down. Rather than eat ourselves and shoot our wounded, we heal them. We teach, we encourage each other. We really encourage each other. And not just say, well, I'll pray for you. Or my favorite, when somebody posts something on Facebook and they're like, oh, I'm having a hard time. What does everybody post? Thoughts and prayers. That's all it is. You ever see that? See that you scrolling through? You know, oh, my dog died, my house burnt down, my baby daddy left me. Thoughts and prayers. And that's as far as it goes. But see, part of unity is teaching, counseling, listening to other people, and then leaving it there, not spreading people's business around, you know? And so many times, oh, I'll listen. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, tell me the good stuff. You know, tell me all your deeds. And then what do? Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, you call up our friend. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Oh, no, they didn't. Yes. Verse 16 goes on to say, Colossians 3:16. Teach and counsel each other with wisdom, with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do or say, do as a representative of Christ. See, I think we missed that. Whatever you do and say, if you're always thinking about, hey, I'm representing God in what I'm doing in my actions, you're going to stop messing up. Right? Hopefully. Got one other spot I want to look at real quick in Romans 12. Talking about how do we get unity. Romans 12 and 9. Here's a good one for you. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Because love is the tie that binds. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. When God's people are in need, be ready to help somebody. Because you know what? It ain't all about you, sister. Sometimes I got to remind my kids that. So if I want to be honest, I got to remind myself that. It ain't all about me. Part of unity says, it's, what can I do for someone else? As John F. Kennedy said, what? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. It's the same thing in the church. Ask not what your fellow churchgoer can do for you, but what you can do for your fellow churchgoer. That's the thing. Ask not what. Don't be looking to take advantage of folks, but look for ways to bless. Verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Part of unity is praying for the people that make you mad. We all got those people. Sometimes we're related to them, right? We're going to be honest. I got those. But he says, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. In the King James, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. What does that mean? It says to be happy when others are blessed. Don't be mad because someone got a blessing that you didn't get. Because that is the number one killer of unity. Is when you look at someone else's life that's not your own. And you say, well, God blessed them with this. God blessed them with that. Where's mine? It doesn't matter where yours is. It's coming if you'll wait. But God here, he's saying, rejoice with them. Someone gets a new car, say, that's an awesome car. Can I ride in it? Thank you, Jesus, that you got a car. Because I had to do that for years. I drove a car that wasn't the greatest car in the world. 99 Chevy Cavalier, two-door red. And it could go fast up to 107. Don't ask me how I know that. Well, actually, I tried it. It could go fast. But after a while, it wasn't the greatest car. And I began to want another car. Began to say, God, will you bless me with something else? Then I began to look at other people, start getting new vehicles. And I had the choice to rejoice with them and say, that's awesome. Or I could get mad in my trouble and hold a grudge against them because God was blessing them and not me. See, because that's the number one killer of unity is when we worry about what other people have. And we worry about what we don't have or what we think that God hasn't given us. See, rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy. Happy, happy, happy. And also weep with those who weep. What that means is show genuine compassion, not just the thoughts and prayers. But when someone comes to you and says, hey, I need you to pray about something, bind together with me. You know what I do? I write that stuff down. I got a little notebook I carry with me. Or I got my phone. I write that down. Because if someone reaches out to me in faith to say, hey, pray with me, they're trusting me. And I don't want to break that bond of unity that we're trying to build there by forgetting about it. See? Love people. Don't pretend. Live in harmony, verse 16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. That one hit me real hard. Don't think you know it all. I like to be a smart guy. Sometimes, well, you know. Don't think you know it all. Because other people can teach you many things. Things you didn't even know you didn't know. I've learned so many things from other people. Learned how to catch a fish with my bare hands with my brother Ernie. Have you ever done that? That's amazing. Just, oh, you just yell. You just, it's primal. But several years ago, I never knew how to fish with my hands, pull catfish out of the river. My brother Ernie said, hey, come spend some time with me, fellowship with me, and let's go do that. I said, okay, let's do it. Pulled me out a big old fish. Well, big for me, it was like, what was it, like 5 pounds? But you know, it was that fellowship. Don't be too proud to admit you don't know it all. In verse 17 and 18, we'll end it off with this. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. And do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. See, that's the second way to kill unity. To pay back evil for evil. Someone says something about your shoes, let it go. Someone says something about your mama, you need to let that go too. Even though you want to hit them. You ever been there? You want to hit somebody? It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't kill the unity that we have, that we're striving for. Don't be a unity killer. Be a unity builder. That's what I want to encourage you guys with. You know, all these things we've been talking about, they all fit together. They're all meant to build us up together in one mind and one accord. Because just like that early church that didn't have much, but they shared it all, they changed the world. And I want to change our world. I want us to change our world. Because only we can do it. Because remember, you've got breath in your lungs. You've been given another day because there's something or someone that you're meant to impact. There's someone that you're supposed to bring in here to add to our group. And I want to encourage you, live life in a life of unity. Build each other up. Be a unity maker, not a unity breaker. And Lord, I want to end this off with a prayer. You want to bow your head and close your eyes, guys. We're going to say this. We're going to say, Lord, I ask that you would bind all of us together. Bind our hearts together in service towards you, God. And Lord, help us add to our group so we can impact the world around us. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.